Rick Woodley, who's the Regional Resources Manager with Mid-Pacific of U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, and Joan Maurer, who is the Deputy Operating Officer with Santa Clara Valley Water District. So Rick Woodley, not to be confused with John Woodling, who used to be with TWRS, now with RWA. Yeah, Rick, you want to go first?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, good morning. Now, see if I can struggle with my voice. This came on here day before yesterday. I was out in the parking lot of our building and met up with our Deputy Regional Director, Pablo Arellave, who was to speak at this conference. And he says, "Do I have a deal for you?" And so here I am. I'm not as good-looking as Pablo. I'm certainly older than Pablo. I'm not near as smart as he is. So, but you don't get your money back either. So, I'm here representing the Mid-Pacific region of the Bureau of Reclamation. I'm kind of infringing on our colleagues from the Lower Colorado region. You're actually in Reclamation's Lower Colorado region, and that's the folks you have the most dealings with, so we're kind of your neighbors to the north. And I'll tell you a little bit more about us, but I did want to acknowledge Regional Director Fulp and his staff who have been represented here. And I think Dr. Fulp spoke to you, yesterday on the agenda? My focus today will primarily be on the Central Valley Project, which is kind of the keystone in our region, but that's not to ignore other areas of our region. We do extend up into the southern Oregon and northern California area, Klamath Basin project, and they are experiencing fairly severe drought up there also. We also go over into Nevada, northern Nevada, out of our Carson City office, so Lahontan Basin project. Actually, things have been a little bit better than that, at least not as severe as we've seen in many other areas. As going from us, or telling you a little bit about us, we, from the Central Valley Project, at least, we extend 400 miles up from the Cascade Ranges down to just on the other side of the Tehachapis here. 20 dams, reservoirs that can hold about 12 million acre-feet of water. There's 500 miles of canals, 11 hydroelectric plants. We have more than 250 contractors in 29 California counties we deal with, and a variety of different types of contracts in that respect. One of the, I think, it's been described as one of the largest plumbing systems in the country, if not larger than that. You can see some of the primary purposes that were authorized with the Central Valley Project. In 1992, with the passage of the Central Valley Project Improvement Act, fish and wildlife was raised on an equivalent basis with our other project purposes, primarily irrigation and M&I water. And that is probably from your familiarity, a lot of you folks deal with the State Water Project and such, which is heavily oriented to M&I use, and that's what you folks are here for. We're predominantly agricultural. We deliver to a lot of agricultural contractors and such, but we do deliver in the neighborhood of around 700,000 acre feet of water to M&I or for M&I purposes, places like the city of Roseville, others on, and others on the American River. We deliver contractors to East Bay Mud, Contra Costa that serve the Bay Area. Our colleagues here at the Santa Clara Valley Water District serves the Silicon Valley, City of Redding, and such. We also have, it's not part of the CVP, but the Kachuma Project, which has several communities and such down in that area, Santa Barbara and such, that we deliver water to. There you see a little bit about the varying purposes and certainly the water supply for agriculture. One of the things that we've noted and I think has maybe been referenced here a little bit, particularly from the standpoint of agriculture, is that over the years, I don't know, at least the last 20 years, but certainly the last 10 years or so, a hardening of demand from the agricultural standpoint, less row crops that are being grown, more permanent crops, orchards, a lot of almonds, pistachios, wine grapes and such, that are less, you don't just follow those crops and such. So the issues get to be is how do you deal with that kind of hardening of demand. We operate a number of aspects relative to our operating agreements. All of our, the CVP is authorized as a project, and we get our water right permits through the state board and operate under those permits. Also, D1641, which is the water quality in the delta that we have to meet, our biological opinions. Flood control manuals, mentioned the Central Valley Project Improvement Act, which was passed in 1992, which has varying kind of flow criteria relative to the system, but also mitigation for the building of the project. And then our coordinated operations agreement, which is our operations agreement with the state of California, which is mandated by Congress, I believe, 1986. A little too fast. That just gives you an idea, just a graphic of the drought conditions in the state. Pretty much covering most of the state. That rather real dark area would represent most of the area just south of the delta in the San Joaquin Valley, and that's where a lot of the crops I was talking about exist. Just a little description of the system itself. Trinity Dam, which is farthest on the north on the Trinity River, that actually controls the flows there, but also basin diversion that brings water over into the Sacramento River. Shasta, the largest of our facilities, it's on the Sacramento River. Folsom Dam, which is on the American River, a tributary to the Sacramento River. New Melones, which is on the Stanislaus River. Fryant Dam, which is on the San Joaquin River, which flows up northerly direction to the delta. And then San Luis Reservoir, which is a federal facility, but it is jointly operated between us, the state, it's off-stream storage, and we deliver water to our contractors primarily through the Delta Mendota Canal, but it also serves the California Aqueduct that comes down to Southern California. In 2014, water supply now. Most of our contractors have contracts that start from 1st of February, or 1st of March through the end of February, I'm sorry. We do have some calendar year contracts, but most of them are on the schedule I referred to. We usually have our first announcement of water supply about mid-February. that just follows the our water users conference we have at the end of January up in Reno. The initial allocations that we provide our initial water supply to our contractors, the Sacramento River Settlement contractors and our exchange contractors, are actually water rights contracts, and recognizing their prior rights, which pre-existed the Central Valley Project. And so what they have in their contracts is based, there's a shortage criteria that's based upon inflows into Shasta. When those inflows in a particular year, one of the criteria has to be if it drops below 3.2 million acre feet, then it triggers a shortage criteria that we can short them by 25%. We went into February, there was no way we could deliver 75% of their supply, knowing what the hydrology was at that time. And we initially announced to them that we would only be able to provide what would equate to 40% of their contracted supply. The same was happening with our refuges. CVPIA has 19 federal, state, and one private refuge that we deliver water to by law. And once again, as their shortage criteria in their contracts is dependent upon inflows into Shasta, same criteria. And once again, we can short them by 25%, but still could not provide to the refuges, and they also were at the 40%. And such. And I'll get a little bit more into what happened in Sacramento River Settlement Contractors is now at 75%. You'll see a factor there with the exchange contractor showing a 65 to 75%. There's a little story there. Under refuges north of the Delta, at the same as the Sac River Settlement Contractors, at 75%, and the south of Delta is at 65% for the refuges there. Our agricultural water service contractors, they have had no water this year, either north or south of the Delta. Our M&I contractors, we are providing 50% of their historical supply, but not less than what they would get under public health and safety, and there's a formula we use for that. But and then our Friant contractors who take the water out of Millerton, they're at zero. That is unprecedented. The Eastside contractors, that would be take their delivery out of New Malonis, they're at 55%. For the first time since Friant Dam was built, we have had to use the water out of Millerton, that's Friant Dam, to make deliveries to the meet the needs of the exchange contractors. And when we entered into the settlement agreement or the exchange agreement way back in 1938 with the exchange contractors, they never gave up their water rights. They just exchanged that for water on the Sacramento side. And as a result, they do have the ability to draw upon the Sacramento San Joaquin River in certain circumstances, and this year is the first time that's ever happened. This just gives you a perspective. Our contracts, general terms, we provide about 9.5 million acre feet that are under contract with the CVP. Just as a perspective, in 2013, which was a dry year, we were delivered about 5.1 million acre feet. In 2012, which was a little better year, below average year type, 6.5 million acre feet. And this year, we're projecting 3.2 million acre feet. This maybe expands a little bit upon the graphic that Gary Bardini provided, his in percentages. Over on the far left, you see for the varying reservoirs, our current storage, and then the projected storage under either a 90% exceedance, which is the dry year a model, or a 50% exceedance, which is a little wetter projection, and what that would be for those numbers. Just as Shasta at full capacity is 4.5 million acre feet, Trinity is 2.5 million acre feet, Folsom is 977,000, New Malones is 2.4 million acre feet, and Fryant Dam is at 520,000 acre feet. Yep. Get too fast here. Since December of 2013, we have been working, the state and federal agencies have all been working together to deal with water supply and dealing with fishery issues and water quality issues. And I don't want to leave out our contractors in that regard, too. And I get back a little bit to the allocation process we dealt with this year. We, north of the Delta, I mentioned our initial allocation to our Sacramento River settlement contractors. We have both water rights, water under their contracts, but we also provide in the critical months, the drier months, project supply. They were at 40% of supply. Starting in last part of May, first part of June, maybe. We start when we're operating Shasta, and a lot of people don't understand, Shasta is really not operated on a demand basis. It's operated more from a standpoint of meeting flows and temperature conditions on the river. And so we kind of match up demand for our contractors with our releases. We went to the Sacramento settlement contractors and say, hey, we're going to have to start upping releases last part of May, first part of June, and it looks like we could raise your allocation from the 40% to 75% if you would postpone or delay some of your demand on the river from the April-May time frame into the summer months. And we had that discussion with them. They got on board with that. We modified, just set aside some of our contract provisions in that, and that's how we were able to get them to 75%. Similar discussions we had with the exchange contractors on the San Joaquin. By the time we got, they have a certain amount of water that's scheduled to them by month, and in the June through the end of the calendar year, it equates to about 529,000 acre feet. And we told them that we thought that we could meet that 529,000 acre feet, which would be about 75% of the June through the end of December. Now, if you look at it a total year, it gets back to about 65%. So that's where that 65 to 75 came in from the earlier slide. Also in 2014, we have a water users conference up in Reno at the end of January. We put out a 2014 water plan, what we talked about, what we projected, and some things we could do on water supply and such. There's a lot of things in there about water transfers and flexibilities, which we've been working on and such. But shortly after we made that announcement and we put out the water plan, we were almost immediately into drought planning because January, February, we had a little bump in March, but it has been dry since that time, and the hydrology has dictated that we couldn't do a lot of the things we'd hoped to be able to do in the 2014 water plan. A lot of work with water transfers and trying to move water around. Interesting enough, we had a programmatic document on water transfers we put together working with our contractors. There was even a few state contractors involved in that also. Problem has been with the water transfers, we can't get the water across the Delta because of water quality issues. And we've been operating, we've got pumping capacity, but in order to meet outflow, if we don't control the Delta and salinity in the Delta, there will be no agriculture in the Delta, and there will be no exporting of any water due to salinity issues. So we have to maintain control, and meeting those outflow conditions is critical, and that's affected our ability to transfer water. We use a lot of WARNACs, that is using federal facilities to convey non-project water. A lot of our contractors have access to non-project water, and And of course, in this year, we've got capacity in our facilities to either store or convey that non-project water. And also, we've facilitated certain exchanges. An example of that is this Alameda County had purchased, I believe it was 10,000 acre feet of water from Contra Costa Water District, but it was sitting up in Los Vaqueros Reservoir, and they couldn't get it. They have no way of hydrologic or the plumbing to get it there. So they were able to work out a deal with us where Contra Costa would give up some of their supply, their M&I supply that they'd normally be taking. And so what they did is they just left the water in Los Vaqueros. That's what Contra Costa is using. And then they gave up their supply that they'd normally be taking that went down to Alameda County to meet their dire needs. Those are the types of things we had to go to the state board on it because there was a change in point of diversion, and we've worked on that. Just very briefly here, there is also a national effort on the National Drought Resilience Partnership, the President's Climate Action Plan, and working with other federal agencies of which Interior is a part of. So there's a lot of activities or some activities involved in that. A number of things that came out, and the President was out here in February and announced varying funding initiatives for programs and providing emergency funding to a number of different programs. Lastly, I'll talk about some of the drought programs. One of the cornerstones we deal with, and some of you are familiar with, things like our Water Smart programs. There's a number of component programs to Water Smart. One of them is the water conservation, which we've heavily leveraged relative to water conservation grants. Since 2009, there's been somewhere in the nature of $94 million in federal funds to 158 projects. That's reclamation wide. This last year, the Mid-Pacific region did 15 grants, totaling about $6.9 million. That's estimated to be about 24,500 acre feet of water conserved and about 40,000 acre feet of water that would be better managed. You're familiar with basin studies to quantify and identify strategies for managing or maybe dealing with the gap between supply and demand. Since 2009, we've got about $16 million in federal dollars over a dozen studies. And then Title 16, water reuse and recycling projects. There's been quite a bit of involvement in that and some down in this area you're familiar with. 1992, Congress had authorized 53 projects in addition to a number that were already in place at that time. Reclamation has provided funding for 42. Since 1992, there's been around $556 million is what I've got for federal dollars to support Title 16. In 2011, it's estimated that 260,000 acre feet of water was recycled through Title 16 projects. You heard Congressman Garamendi talk about legislative issues. There have been a number of ones that have been introduced and such, and some of them are still kind of in play in some form or another. There was a proposal for some of them include proposal for modifying ESA on both the CVP and the State Water Project, modifying the San Joaquin River Restoration Program, authorizing construction of new storage, which Mr. Garamendi referred to, additional drought assistance. There was a reauthorization of the Reclamation States Emergency Drought Relief Act of 1991, and in fact, there was an announcement here, I think, just before the day that Kachuma was getting $300,000 of that, and varying other proposals there. So that, with it, kind of brings it to a close here, and I'll defer to my colleague, Joan Munner.
Yeah, Joan, why don't you pop in and do yours, and then we'll do quick questions.
Okay, good afternoon. I realize I'm the last speaker in a conference that's been going on for a couple of days here, so I will move through and basically just take a little bit of time here to shed some light on how the drought looks from a Northern California perspective. We're located in Santa Clara County. Santa Clara Valley Water District is located in Santa Clara County. Let me make sure. Our mission, of course, is providing Silicon Valley safe, clean water for a healthy life, environment, and economy. I guess one of the things that's unique about Santa Clara Valley Water District is we're not just a water supplier. We are the wholesale water supplier for Santa Clara County and groundwater manager, but we also manage 275 miles of streams and watersheds for flood protection. And our district act, we're a special district under state law, and our district act does include environmental stewardship as one of our three missions. So when we look at the drought, we're looking at, let me make sure I can, we'll get the hang of this. It's not instantaneous. I know, I'm trying to point to the computer in the back. Okay, that's too far. There we go. We serve about 2 million people, 2 million residents. In addition, there are up to 300,000 daily commuters who come into the South Bay area. The blue area down at the bottom of that map is our county. We're commonly described as an economic engine for the Bay Area. The cities that we serve include, on the west side, everything from Palo Alto, Sunnyvale, San Jose, over on the east side, Milpitas, and then to the south, we have a very more rural area of our county. About 10% of our water usage is still agricultural. We do replenish the groundwater basin. We're formed primarily for groundwater management, and so we serve those well owners directly by maintaining the groundwater basin. And the bulk of the water use in the county, though, is managed in collaboration with 13 water retailers. There we go. As I mentioned, protecting our groundwater basin is the primary reason why our district was formed. This shows a snapshot of the history of water management in our county. 100 years ago, we were known as the Valley of Heart's Delight. We were kind of wall-to-wall orchards. Post-World War II, of course, with the boom and the people developing the semiconductor industry, water usage increased. Water levels drop. The blue line shows an index well in the North County. The green line shows the growth of population over the last 100 years or so. A very important line is the orange line at the top. That shows land surface in the northern area of our county between Palo Alto, San Jose area. Many people don't realize that downtown San Jose was once 13 feet higher than it is today. In order to halt the land subsidence, the groundwater overdraft and land subsidence, the district was formed in order to bring in imported water, first from the State Water Project in the 60s, and then in the 80s, late 80s, just before the drought of the 1991 drought, we brought in federal water. So decades of effort went into bringing in state and federal water. A portion of our county is also served by A portion of our county is also served by Hetch Hetchy. The system that was built over time includes 10 local reservoirs. The largest of those is 90,000 acre feet. In total, there are about 150,000 acre feet. We do replenish the basin directly through recharge ponds and on-stream recharge. We built three drinking water treatment plants for in-lieu recharge. About half of the water in the county, drinking water in the county, is delivered through treated water contracts to our retailers. I just want to point out the red line at the top. That's the area that I talked about, which had subsided in the past, and the red line is Hetch Hetchy. So we have a number of our retailers that receive Hetch Hetchy water directly, and then we receive state water from the northern part of our county and federal water from the southern part. So it's a pretty robust system that has been developed over time. Our sources of supply also developed over time. When I was listening to Jeff talk about Metropolitan's percentages, I realized that, you know, percentage-wise, we look very much like Metropolitan Water District. 55% of our supply on average is imported. 40% of that flows through the Delta, through the state or federal projects. 15 is Hetch Hetchy. And then 30% is local water from rainfall and runoff. And importantly, at the bottom is the 5% recycled water that equates to about 20,000 acre feet last year, and 10% water conservation. So we've adopted, I think, over time, a very robust strategy. Our board has adopted an integrated master plan that calls for doubling the amount of recycled water and doubling the amount of conservation that we currently use over at present, and basically meeting all future needs for Santa Clara County, all future growth in water needs through water use efficiency. So we will not be increasing our reliance on the Delta over time. Conservation has become a way of life. This shows the trend. I think it's similar to Southern California. The top chart, we've added basically 500,000 people over the last, since 1980. But our water usage, the blue line, has remained relatively constant. In fact, we're using less water now than we did in the 1990s. And then the bottom chart shows our current conservation levels, about 56,000 acre feet a year, which we are working to essentially double by 2030. So with that kind of background on our water supplies and system, you know, how has the drought hit Santa Clara County? In essence, we planned for this for the last, for all these decades. We basically have been planning for just this circumstance. When you compare our district to some of the other water districts in the state, you know, we have a fairly robust supply. Nevertheless, the vulnerabilities that we currently have are really in the amount of limited surface water supply that we have. We went into 2014 with our groundwater basin well in the normal range because we were able to bring back banked water from the semi-tropic groundwater bank last year. You know, we were able to manage water in 2012 and 2013, even though those were very dry years, going into 2014 and with good groundwater conditions. I think what has caught everybody, of course, was initially the zero allocation on the state water project, the uncertainty over what our Central Valley project supplies would be, and realizing that our local reservoirs in these critically dry years, that basically coming out of the winter that we had, the natural runoff that we have into our local reservoirs in these coastal range is less than the amount of evaporation. So you basically have negative local surface water to manage over the year. And the bottom line is that our treated water contracts, we've had to reduce those by 20%. If we didn't have the CVP M&I reliability policy, we would have had to reduce them by about 80%. So that policy is absolutely critical to water supply in Santa Clara County under these circumstances. We have reduced our groundwater recharge by 75%, so we're drawing on those reserves. We built them up just for this kind of year, and we're drawing on them very heavily right now. We do have a very small number of untreated surface water customers. Those are primarily ag and golf courses. Most of our ag, 95% of the ag, uses groundwater, so we're talking about 5% of the ag. And then golf courses, of course, these were intermittent supplies, supposed to be supplies that they weren't relying on every year, but of course they were. We basically told them, we don't have the supply this year. You'll have to go to groundwater, drill a well, or refurbish your well, or do something else. So it's been a very difficult year in terms of managing, you know, people being impacted that had never been impacted before, and in terms of working with our retailers to make sure everybody understands the situation. As far as adding water, we prepared for multi-year droughts by banking water down at Semitropic. We have over 250,000 acre-feet of supply bank down there. One problem is we're located in the north, and Semitropic is to the south of us. Normally, we take that water back by exchanges within the state water project. But when you have a 0% or a 5% allocation, that gets very difficult. And early this year, it became apparent it would be a struggle to get the water back through the normal means. Our board moved forward with what's called the California Reverse Flow Project, California Aqueduct Reverse Flow Project, to basically put some temporary pipes and pumps in place, be able to pump water over checks, four different checks in the California Aqueduct, deliver the water to the Central Valley Project so that we could use that, expand the exchange potential to get banked water back to our county. So we're currently working on that. We've worked very closely with DWR. They got out the fine pencil. We think that we do have enough exchange capacity to in the state project to bring back most of the water, but as kind of a belt and suspenders, we're still going forward with the reverse flow project. We can't afford not to get that water back into the county. Dry creeks, ponds, and reservoirs. The first time the creeks were drying up, you can imagine you have 1.8 million people looking at these creeks and the fish. We have people who, creek watchers basically, if they see a pond drying up, flows drying up, and fish being impacted, it's quite a big public concern about that. So at this point, though, I think people accept there's nothing we can actually do about it. It's dry. It's the driest year on record. So we have removed about 7,000 pounds of dead fish from our recharge ponds and creeks. Obviously, we're working very closely with Fish and Wildlife. Most of those fish are non-native species that ultimately, as some of the fishery biologists have said, it's kind of a reset. There's species that are living there that are competing with the species you do want to have live there. So there is a silver lining to that. And then imported source water quality. As I mentioned, this is our primary source for the treatment plants, both out of the Delta, and then our federal supplies come through San Luis Reservoir. And anything that happens in the Delta shows up within 24 hours at our treatment plants. So the poor water quality in the Delta is affecting, the organic carbon is affecting our ability to treat water in a way that we can maintain, some of the standards for disinfection byproducts. We have to work very hard and very carefully to make sure that we're handling the poor water quality. And then I'll just show you a little bit about San Luis Reservoir here. It's a 2 million acre foot reservoir. What you're seeing is the upper intake of the San Felipe Division that serves our county. And in the most recent drought, 2007 to 2009, that upper intake was daylighted as the reservoir dropped. And fortunately, if it goes below the lower intake, we cannot take any more water into the county. The other issue that we have is as the reservoir drops, there's a lot of algae floating on the surface, and that causes a taste and odor treatment problem at our drinking water plants as well. So maintaining water quality, and in the case of our federal supply, just maintaining access to that supply as the reservoir drops this summer will be a challenge for us. And then in response, our board has activated our water shortage contingency plan. Last February, they called for a 20% water use reduction target for the county. And as we're a wholesaler, the word mandatory is something that we really need to implement through the retailers who have the ability to work directly with the customers, can pass ordinances and work with the end users directly. So we recommended mandatory measures as needed, and over the intervening months, you know, a number of them have, some have made more of an effort or basically set the 20% target. Others have set lower targets. In part, that's because you'll see in a minute, I'll explain a little bit later, that our neighbors to the north, having the Hetch Hetchy project in our service area does complicate to some extent our water use reduction efforts. But our board, right off the bat, of course, doubled the rebates on most of our programs. You can now get $2 a square foot for retiring your turf. Some of the areas where the retailers match that, you can get $4 a square foot. So, you know, if you happen to have an acre of lawn, you know, that's a lot of money to retire your lawn, right? But you know, I think they made the initial budget adjustments for this, and I think we'll be going back for about the third time to augment the rebate program. So there's quite a bit of interest. We've had a fivefold increase in interest in all the 20 different programs that we have. We also have a very aggressive water use reduction campaign, most multimedia, multilingual, electronic and social media. As you know, you can't just get it out in paper or the traditional media these days. You have to really be has to be a very broad-based program to reach people. Let's see, the summer target, the summer target is really landscape water use. So this is our program for the summer. Brown is the new green. We're really trying to get the landscape practices. That's the low-hanging fruit in our area, really. We need to get that outdoor water use down. And I think, so that's something that will help us this year, and then as we look at 2015 and future years, certainly that will help us in those years. Been a lot of community outreach and responsiveness, youth poster and video contests. It's sometimes hard to reach the younger crowd there, and that's one way that we do it. We do have Access Valley Water case management, so any information that comes in, we manage through a central drought management system. Man, this is a very touchy thing. Tracking water waste, as I mentioned, there is an Access Valley Water app. One of the things that we've noticed, and I think this would be the same in most areas, is once people get it that there's no water, or we're asking for these water use reductions, they may be making the effort, a diligent effort. If they see somebody not making a diligent effort, or somebody who perhaps their lawn system irrigation has a problem, they want to take action. They want to report it to somebody, and so we've been working with our retailers to try to organize a good response to that public interest. We do have the app, and we've also put together education enforcement video highlighting conservation measures to avoid fines. I mean, obviously, the state board's recent drought emergency regulations have up the interest in complying with water use reduction measures. Here we go. So one thing our board also approved was funding for what we're calling water waste inspectors. You know, again, we heard from a number of our retailers, gee, we would set mandatory conservation requirements, but we don't really have the resources, the staff, to follow up on things. How can we enforce it? And with the state board's action, of course, it's no longer discretionary for some of the measures that need to be implemented by retailers. But one thing our district can do as a wholesaler is provide assistance and provide staff to follow up on reports of water waste, and basically help provide resources for the retailers to enforce these water use reduction measures. So there we go. Savings to date range from about 10% to 17%. Total combined savings about 12%. This chart is a little bit old. I think we may be doing slightly better in the more recent months. One of our challenges, as I mentioned, is that San Francisco Public Utilities Commission service area overlaps ours in the northern part of the county, and they're calling for 10%. So if our board calls for 20%, you know, the public is going, well, what do we do? They don't always know where they live. You know, they don't know what supply they're getting, and the retailers have discretion over which supply to provide to some degree. May have that discretion. So that's been a little bit of a challenge as far as getting a uniform message and uniform programs out. So I think we'll be working that issue for some time as we go forward. Okay. There we go. Okay, if the drought continues in 2015, we're at the severe level, or the level three of our water shortage contingency plan right now. If we have continuation, a repeat of this year, we could end up in the critical or emergency level, depending on what our imported water allocations look like. But obviously, if they look like this year, I think we would be in a worse position than we are now, because we won't have the reserves that we had going into 2014. And expanding water use reduction campaign and rebates, that's an obvious measure. There I would just say that I think the state board really does play an important role in helping to focus people on, you know, not only on the regulatory aspects of water management in the state, but just the requirements for, you know, emergency measures. And adding water waste inspectors, enforcement assistance, we'd definitely be into working with our retailers to expand that. Implementing new drought pricing. In our district act, we do have the ability to set tiered rates on groundwater in drought conditions. We have not ever done that. There are some technical details as to how you would implement that. What would trigger that is really the outlook for subsidence, land subsidence in the northern part of our county, and overdraft. So if we saw conditions, and we are beginning to see conditions of concern as far as land subsidence, then I think we will be looking in FY15, or 2015, early 2015, at what pricing mechanisms we can do to help protect the groundwater basin. And then, obviously, accelerating recycled water projects. We just recently finished, coincidentally, a month ago, we finished an 8 million gallon a day advanced water purification center, the first of its kind in Northern California. I know this is old hat down here in Southern California, but in Northern California, it's really a first step towards potable reuse. At present, the purified water is being blended with non-potable recycled water to improve the quality and expand the use of non-potable. But we are very interested in accelerating recycled water in our county. We are working with all of the producers of recycled water, including South Bay Water Recycling. I think we have Sunnyvale here, so we're working with all of the recycled water producers to move forward as fast as we can on a pilot indirect potable project. And, you know, as far as the future, we're very interested in seeing what we can do to make direct potable more of a reality, an option for us. Obviously, our vulnerability is the treatment plants and their total dependence in these kinds of situations on imported water. So the only thing that will really advance us out of that is either to improve the imported water supply, reliability of that, which that has its hurdles and its timetable, but the direct potable reuse would be an option to augment any limited imported water as far as providing treated water to people. So that's the outlook for 2015. I just want to make a couple of comments on BDCP and the California Water Action Plan and the water bond. I mean, as the previous speakers have said, those, you know, there are some positive steps forward that are happening at the same time. So none of these, you know, very severe circumstances are without a silver lining, in that it really, where people are more focused on what are the constructive solutions for water in California. Great deal of energy, great deal of initiatives being put forward, and so I think I will just end with that. We'll take any questions.
Thank you. First question.
Gosh,
who's got it? Hold on, hold on. Over here, and then I'll come back to you, okay? Just a second.
Actually, it's a question. A question that's a quite big concern as a microbiologist. With the drought in place, we now have a much greater impacts on the health due to Coccidioides decimatis, which is San Joaquin Valley fever. And so, and in addition to that, the guidance that we're getting from the DWR in the state, et cetera, and locally as well as statewide, is less use of water and more use of blowers and things of the sort locally. And at the same time, with the concerns that you presented, there are more fields being fallowed, more dust in the air for people to inhale as they're driving by or working. So my question is, what kind of economic collaboration should be carried out with both the Federal Public Health Service providing grants and funding to the water agencies, both regionally, locally, etc.? Some very simple things could be provided or should be provided, from the very simple math when you're using the blower and cautions and education. But there are huge things that need to be provided with an amplification of the research for vaccinations and other things. So what kind of funding is possible through that kind of collaboration? I'm especially interested with reclamation as well as with regionally, because we all have the obligation to do that. Huge impact socially as well as health-wise as well as economically.
I'm not sure I'm dealing with it. I'm not aware of.
Are there any grants available?
Yeah. I'm not anything within our authorities that would go that direction, although we do work with some of the other federal agencies involved in grant programs. And in fact, is we've had some considerable involvement with some state and federal agencies. We're meeting in varying forums where we can kind of direct things like that, where we may not have authority, to some other federal or state agency which has grants and such. I know there's these varying forums that happen in regional areas and such, where they we deal with those kinds of issues. But I know I was trying to think here. I think there's a session down in Visalia, and there's another one up in San Luis Obispo area here coming up, where they the funding fairs, I guess, is what they come down to. Those are the only ones I'm aware of.
Joan did a very good job in describing all the programs, etc., that San Joaquin Valley is doing. Can the audience assume that what you're doing is pretty consistent amongst all the Bay Area entities, or are some people doing more, or some people doing less, or what's going on throughout the Bay Area?
Yeah. Well, the Bay Area is not, you know, very uniform in its sources of supply. You know, you have Contra Costa that takes water directly out of the Delta. They're a Central Valley Project contractor. That's most of their water. You have East Bay Mud taking water, their own system, out of the McKelney Aqueduct, and, of course, San Francisco bringing water in through the Hetch Hetchy Project. And that's more the East and South Bay. I would say that, you know, all of the agencies, to some extent, are implementing integrated water management plans. It's just the vulnerability during drought periods like this will hit each one of them differently. Same in, you know, the North Bay Area as well. Portions of that area, Napa, get state water, but other parts of Marin and so on are much more reliant on local sources. So I would say all of them are implementing integrated resources plans. All of them have some measure, some call for additional water use reduction in place, but generally probably not quite, with the exception of Alameda County and Alameda County Zone 7 and ourselves. I'm not sure that any of them have a 20% call in place. So I think that's the story.
So we're just about at the end. Do we have one more question, or is Jim going to take it on home? You going to take it on home?
I'll do it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's thank our panel.
Just a couple of minor things. Early on in March,